Again, thank you for being faithful to the house of the Lord. We appreciate you and the opportunities we have to come together in worship and praise and in fellowship. Zechariah is a prophet we don't look at too often, and there's some gems in all of the books of the Bible. But I want to turn to Zechariah chapter 2 in verse 1 for a short while here today, because there's a particular element in that verse that I think is going to have some significance for us today as we understand what God's Word is trying to say to us. So Zechariah is seeing something. I lifted up mine eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. A measuring line. What's he going to do with that? How significant is that? Then said I, whither goest thou? Where are you going? He said unto me, to measure Jerusalem. Jerusalem. We know that the Lord says in one portion of Scripture, he's going to search Jerusalem with candles. In fact, that may be in Zechariah. Is it, Brother Greg? Searching Jerusalem with candles. And measuring Jerusalem. We'll see why there's a focus on Jerusalem. To see what is the breadth thereof and what is the length thereof. Why is that important? Why is the measuring line something that Zechariah is shown? And obviously it's a revelation that's got to be adhered to and understood. Amen. And then we drop down to verse 5. Verse 5 of that same chapter. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about. He's talking about Jerusalem, the people of God, and will be the glory in the midst of her. I like that. Praise God. But the measuring line is what we've got to understand today. You can be seated. I read in Scripture, obviously, you read in Scripture. We're reading through the Bible through the year. And we come to portions that have a great deal of measurement. The ark, for example. The ark that Noah built, 120 years, my goodness. You talk about an extensive construction project, one that was costly, one that was energy draining, one that invited curiosity and even ridicule, but they stayed with it, and only 8 went aboard, only 8 people, imagine that. The minority is going to turn out to be the blessing and receive the blessing that God has in store. Amen. And let's hold on and let's believe the Lord. But I read an article somewhere, but that the dimensions, the ratio of dimensions for the ark was applied to commercial construction of ships. And that was the standard of stability for ocean-going ships, the same ratio of that was found in the ark applied to shipbuilding in modern times. I didn't know that. That's pretty interesting. Of course, they're so much larger now and powered in such a different way and many different purposes. But measurement, the tabernacle with the measurements, and the instruction, build it according to the pattern. And they couldn't deviate. They couldn't change. They couldn't make modifications. They couldn't say, it would look better if we did it this way. You know, that happens in construction projects now. That changes in terms of how things are going to turn out. But in the Word of God, the measurement was important. Ezekiel measures. Yeah, and it goes on, but we're looking here at Zechariah's understanding and how important measurement is. Measurement is important for us today. There are salmon derbies and halibut derbies and all of these different things that go on. I remember hearing on the radio in Sitka a salmon derby. They were so surprised that two fish weighed exactly the same. And what they had done is forgot to put that first one in under ice. They weighed it again and thought, oh, look at this, another salmon that weighed the same. There's got to be measurement that's accurate, measurement that is not mistaken. It's incredible that Olympic records are set in the hundredth of a second. Wow. Incredible. And whether it's racing or jumping or lifting or whatever, it's got to be in the accurate measurements, because world records are important. Whether you're measuring metric or standard, whether you're measuring volume or mass or length, don't get confused. What's the saying? Measure twice, saw once. There's a lot of people still can't get that right. But we measure time and life. Here we are, August 21st. Wow. We're just left to wonder, how does it go by so quickly? How is it going by so fast? The scripture tells us, Psalm 90 and 12, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And I think that's a good statement. I think that's good instruction. Teach us to number our days. We don't just count the days. We make the days count. We follow through in areas that is going to apply for a good outcome and to see what God would have us to do. Amen. Thank God. I'm intrigued at the times that you see in Scripture tomorrow about this time. And the prophecy that comes forth so strong, tomorrow about this time. What if that was said to you today? Tomorrow about this time. Oh, the coming of the Lord. That's what I want to see. Tomorrow about this time, we're going to be out of here. Praise God. We're going to be gone. The trumpet is going to sound. Gravity is going to be defeated. Corruption is going to be set aside. Incorruption is going to take over. Immortality is gone, or is here, and mortality is gone. Thank God that we're able to step into that realm with believing that the Lord is going to do a work. But keep in mind, your life is like a vapor. It comes up for a little ways out of the tea kettle or the whatever you're heating up, and then it's gone. It just vanishes into the air. So determining God's will, making sure we're following through on what the Lord says, that's where we've got to be, because there's evidence of faulty measures. The scripture gives example after example of those who didn't measure accurately. They got off track. They thought there was a different way to measure. Lot, for example, Abraham's nephew, Lot, moved into Sodom and Gomorrah, thinking his measurement of wealth, his measurement of convenience, his measurement of acceptance, that probably is what was foremost in his mind. But we know the loss, oh, the terrible loss that he ended up suffering, losing people, including his daughters, his sons-in-law, his grandchildren, ending up losing everything and walking away with two daughters, and then things becoming difficult from there. The rich farmer, the Lord told about that rich farmer who could grow things in great increase, and the necessity of storage that would be more vast, more volume, and his self-assessment of what he would do. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my barns. I'm going to build bigger, and I'm going to say, soul, take thine ease. Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. You got it made. Everything's good. Everything's turning out roses, everything's coming together just right. But the Lord said, this night thy soul will be required of thee. And then whose shall these things be? And that helps us to understand, you got to measure accurately. You have to measure in the way that God would have you to. The Lord said, you need to be rich toward God. You need to have treasures laid up in heaven. Because he asked the question, what is it profited a man if he gained the whole world and he loses his own soul? Your soul is worth the whole world. And oh God, help us to understand there's the necessity of following through with the things of the Lord. That young man who demanded his inheritance and said, the Bible says he went to a far country and he spent it, just living it up, and then eventually falling down in a pig pen. And he realized, I need to go home and just be a servant. I'm not worth being a son. I'll just be a servant. Thank God he went back home. And thank God his dad received him and restored him. My son was lost, but now he's found. My son was dead, but now he's alive. Oh, thank God the Lord knows how to bring restoration. The Lord knows how to provide and minister in a great way. The stories continue. Belshazzar, through that great feast, he invited 1,000 of his lords and all of their guests. That banquet hall must have been immense. It must have been incredible. And the party went on. And Belshazzar called for the golden vessels that they took from the Jewish temple. And he was basically fighting the God of the Jews by pouring wine into those vessels and toasting their other gods. And then a hand appeared and began to write on the wall. That changed the atmosphere. That helped them to understand you're measuring the wrong way. You're measuring by what you see, by what you have, by the influence you exert, by the friends that you can count together. But God is what you need to follow and what you need to respond to. Oh, no doubt there were many in that group, 1,000 of those lords, who envied Belshazzar, would immediately change places with him, would feel like he's got it made. This is where I would like to be. But that night, he lost out, and Babylon was conquered by the Medes and the Persians. That's history. That's world history. You can read about it. It's not just in the Bible. It's in man's accounts as well. Thank God that the Bible is accurate. The Bible is what we need to follow, and spiritual measurement is what we need to go by. Moses grew up in his mother's home for just a few years. When he was placed in that basket in the Nile River, which is where all the male babies of the Jews was thrown by the hand, an order of Pharaoh. Talk about a society that it was corrupt. And what we're seeing today in terms of children being, the situations that are coming forth in our society concerning children are very troubling. God, help us to continue to pray and hold the biblical values and principles that we know are right. But Moses, drawn out of that water by Pharaoh's daughter, Miriam stepping forth and saying, shall I get one of the Hebrew women to nurse him for you? And the situation there becoming so reversed, and Pharaoh's daughter saying, yes, I'll pay her. And so the mother of Moses took care of him and got paid on top of it. Amen. But there came the time that Moses had to weigh things out. Moses had to measure where he was. Should I stay in Pharaoh's palace? Should I enjoy all the benefits, all the wealth, all the convenience? Should I follow through on the education I've received? Mathematics, engineering, architecture, chemistry, all of those things that he was trained in, diplomacy, government. He was set to step forward and inherit so much. But he looked at the people of God. He looked at the riches that could not be measured in gold and silver. He looked at what he was born to receive. And he chose that which is eternal. Who knows the name of the Pharaoh? Who knows the name of Pharaoh's daughter? Who knows the instructors that taught Moses? But we know Moses. We know Aaron. We know Miriam. We know what the Word of God says. And we know the hand of the Lord that would lead them and guide them. Praise God. I'm thankful. He recognized the pleasures of sin are just for a season. But the things of God, seeing the invisible God, is what caused him to make his choice. And he counted. Interesting how he counted the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. How would he measure that? How would he understand the value of it? Well, that's how we've got to count. That's how we've got to understand. Amen. He saw him who is invisible. Praise God. And oh, talk about seeing the glory of God. He stood with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration in the Promised Land because God knows how to keep his promises. The measurement. I noticed the length and the breadth of Jerusalem that was being measured. And I thought about Ephesians that talks about knowing the length and the breadth, the depth and the height of what? The love of Christ. Praise God. Not some vast Fort Knox with gold bullion. Not some Wall Street with its wealth, or Fifth Avenue with its fashions and all of man's importance. No, the love of Christ. Amen. To know the love of Christ. And Paul said, it's beyond knowing. So, is it a waste of time? No. Thank God. We can understand the length, the breadth, the height, the depth of all that God has for us. Oh, man. That's what we've got to focus on. That's what we've got to understand. Because Ezekiel measured from the temple. Remember that the rivers were flowing out. He measured and it was to his ankles. He measured it was to his knees. He measured it was to his waist. And then the fourth measurement, it was waters to swim in. It was a river that could not be passed over because the glory and the blessings of God were so great and so powerful that he understood, this is what I've got to stay in. This is where life is found. The Bible says, wherever the river came, there was life. Thank God that we can know the measurement that is so great and so important. I need the life that comes from the Spirit of God. I need the life that comes from the Word of the Lord. I need the life that is going to go beyond and into eternity. Praise God. That's the measurement I've got to make sure I stay with. Praise God and follow after the things of the Lord. Because as we read in the scripture, he said, I will be the glory in the midst of her. That's what we want. That's what we desire. That's what we're following for. That's the promise that he said, I'll be a wall of fire around her. Oh, you talk about God's protection and power. Amen. Thank God that we can claim that for our families. We can claim that for our children. We can claim that for our church. Praise God. Lord, I need you to be a wall of fire around us. I need you to be the protection around my home. I need you to be the protection for my marriage, for my mind, for my walk with you, God. I need you to be that wall of fire around me. Praise God. And the Lord already promised he was going to do that. And that's what we can believe. That's what we can trust. That's what we can rely upon. Elisha was in Dothan. His servant could see the armies around. What he couldn't see was the spiritual army of the angelic host that would be there for Elisha. And Elisha prayed, Lord, open his eyes. Let him see. And then he gave the statement, there's more with us than be with them. And that servant may have looked at Elisha and may have looked at his own hands and wondered, what do you mean? What's going to happen here? But God opened his eyes. Oh, God, help us to see the help that is there posted for every one of us and the hand of the Lord that can step in when we believe him, when we trust him, when we call upon him, when we rely upon him. Thank God there can be that force. There can be that power. There can be that strength. There can be that presence of God. I will be the glory in the midst of her. He said, I'll be that wall of fire around her. And thank God we can trust the Lord to do that work. Now, why the focus on Jerusalem? I'm going to measure Jerusalem. the man said. And he saw that measuring line in the hand of the one that he beheld. Why that focus? Because God had power and blessing in store for Jerusalem. Amen. God wasn't out measuring the seven wonders of the world. God wasn't out looking at the, what are the seven wonders of the world? How many know? The Grand Canyon, the pyramids of Egypt, well, whatever they are. God wasn't interested in measuring those things because they're going to pass away. Yes. It's going to be gone. They're not going to last. But praise God, what came in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, suddenly that sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Thank God we know how powerful that is. Thank God we know how real that is. Thank God we know how up to date that is. It wasn't just 2,000 years ago. Praise God. It happened right here in this service. We were worshiping. We were praising. We were speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God prayed through us. Thank God we know how to measure what is valuable and what is right. Amen. Because the Lord said, beginning at Jerusalem, repentance and remission of sins will be preached in His name among all nations. And thank God that's exactly what happened. The prophecy of Joel was fulfilled. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith who? Saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And He did exactly that. Praise God. And the prophecy was fulfilled. 800 years before, Joel wrote that prophecy, and then it happened. And Peter pulled it out of antiquity and said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Oh, I'm thankful we can rely on the word of the Lord. I'm thankful we can build on that word. I'm thankful we can live that word. I'm thankful we can understand what God desires. Amen. To pour out His Spirit and to see thousands more baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Thank you, Brother Merle, for making sure these waters in the baptismal tank are ready to go. Amen. Thank God someone can determine, I want to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And it can happen today. Hallelujah. Because of the importance of measuring correctly. The right measurement. The right understanding. The right belief. Praise God. Because He desires to be the glory in the midst. See, Colossians 1 and 27 is still being fulfilled. Colossians 1, 27 is still what God wants to bring forth and to make a reality. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise God. That's where the Lord wants to move us. That's where the Lord wants to direct us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise God. And oh, how wonderful and how powerful, how great it is to know His blessings are there. Hallelujah. And we will be in His presence forever. The trumpet is going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise. We which are alive and remain. Praise God. Alive in His Spirit, remaining steadfast in His word. Praise God. Shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm glad that's not a fairy tale. I'm glad that's not just something that's made up as a fable, as a legend, that it kind of just moves us along as some kind of hope. No, we know how powerful it is because the Spirit has been poured out. The name has been applied. His blood covers us. Thank God. And in that realm, we're able to move into the blessings that God has in store for us forever. How do you measure eternity? You can't measure eternity. It just keeps going, keeps going, keeps going. Praise God. I've got billions of dollars in telescopes out there floating around trying to see the end of the universe. Where's the end of the universe? I don't know. I don't care. I want to go in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. I want to be in that touch. Oh, it's amazing to see the pictures. It's incredible to see the galaxies and the stars and all of those things happening. And God spoke it all into existence. He said, let there be light. And there was light, and God called it good. Amen. Thank the Lord. That's who we serve. That's the one we're calling upon. That's the one we're looking to. And thank God, we're going to spend eternity with Him forever with the faithful God. Praise the Lord. And this is where God is going to wipe away all tears. No bottles of tears there like David wrote about. No, God's going to wipe them away. What's that going to feel like? What's that going to... Oh, man. Because tears are part of our lives today. Tears of pain. Tears of heartache. Tears of parting. We have those experiences. And thank God the Lord gave us that way to vent the emotions and frustrations and so on. Thank God that it's there, but God's going to wipe them away. The Lord Himself is going to do that. No more sorrow. No more crying. No more pain. No more death. How are you going to measure that? I want to find out. Praise God. I want to be there. I don't want to lose out. I don't want to fall short. Praise God. Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, the first and the last, all the measurement that you can imagine that would be included in those phrases, He's going to stand there, and we're going to worship Him forever. Hallelujah. We're going to praise Him forever. Oh, I don't want to miss it. Oh, I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to fall short. I don't want to be misdirected. I want to stand in His presence forever. Praise God. Throw that clock away. Not have to look at it again. Praise God. And recognize I can worship Him forever. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I can talk to Sister Sharon and say, remember, Sister Sharon, you walked up halfway through the aisle. You put your hands up. God filled you with the Holy Ghost. And oh, man, what worship is going to come forth. Praise God. I'm going to say, hey, Brother Rick, remember when you got up from your place there in the pew, you laid your crutches aside. You walked up those steps. You walked across. You came down the other side in Kenai. And God healed your knee. Oh, hallelujah. What praise and worship is going to go forth. Hallelujah. Remember Sister Esther getting out of that wheelchair, running around that tabernacle because God did a healing work. Because God showed forth His power. Because God fulfilled His word. Oh, my. How many instances are we going to be able to say? How many remembrances are there going to be? How many times are we going to rejoice? Hallelujah. With dancing, with worship, with understanding. My God is here, and I am in His presence. He is in the midst. Hallelujah. We don't have a need of the sun or the moon because our God is the light. Amen, amen. And He says, let him that take of the water of life freely. Don't measure it. Don't hold back. Don't let it be just a cupful. Freely partake of that water of life. Praise God. Oh, how incredible it's going to be. How amazing it's going to be. Thank God. Let him that is athirst come. Take of the water of life freely. Abundance forever. Forever. How incredible. I don't want to miss. Why would I let some dumb little thing cause me to miss? Why would I let some little offense hold me back? Amen. No, I'm going to move in to that realm. Praise God. Amen. And the Lord, here's another word about measure. Ephesians 4:13. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what we can live in today. Praise God. That's the power that we can access. That's the glory we can receive. And John had it right. John said it the right way. He must increase. I must decrease. Praise God. I've got to make sure I got the right measurement. Got to make sure I'm going in the right direction. Increase, Lord. Increase. Become more important. Become more prevalent. Become more visible. Become more in terms of everything. Praise God. Because I want to have His power and His blessing. And in my concerns, my situation, my ideas, let it decrease. Amen. Let the situation just be, inverse relationship. The more He increases, the less I am important. Amen. Because it works the other way, too. The more I increase, the less God is there. Oh, God, help us. Help us to make that choice in the right direction, in the right place, in the right phase. Thank God, because I want to have His power. Amen. Not man's measurement. Man's measurement is faulty. Oh, man's measurement is major right now. Lots of pressure. Lots of peer influence. Lots of media saying, this is the way it needs to be. This is what you got to have. This is the direction you got to go. But I got to follow what God says in His Word. Count the cost. Measure it. Praise God. Because the value has got to be established by His blood. Amen. Measuring that cross would probably be a fairly simple thing. The width, the height, the elevation. Measuring those spikes that went into His hands and His feet. You could probably say, about 6 inches, maybe 8 inches. Those would be measurements that could be accomplished. But what could be measured by the blood that dripped upon that dry ground? What could be measured there? How many souls would be cleansed? How many sins would be forgiven? How many lives would be changed? Oh, praise God. That He willingly paid that price. He willingly was nailed to that cross. Why? Just so we could have an image of Him hanging there? No, He's not there today. He's not in the tomb today. Praise God. He's the glory in the midst, if we will allow Him to be. And I want Him to be. Praise God. Praise God. Thank God that we can be restored. We can be renewed. We can have the revival that God, regeneration. Incredible that the Lord makes that available to us when we measure right. Thank God. Let's stand, please. Thank the Lord, thank the Lord, thank the Lord. Praise God. I'm thankful. Mm-hmm. That heavenly realm is what we're looking for. That glory of God is what we're going to believe for. And that touch from God, that'll go on and on and on. Yes. The rejoicing that will share with one another. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. The missionaries will be able to meet and say, I prayed for you. I prayed for you. And the missionary will be able to share the testimony. This is what was happening when you prayed. And God brought us through. That's my imagination, Brother Churchill. I don't know if that's going to happen. But oh my, if there's going to be reason for rejoicing, God's going to make sure it's there in abundance, in abundance. Let's not miss. Let's not be cheated out of it. Let's not be deceived. Oh, the devil is a deceiver. He's a master deceiver. He can get you off track. He can misdirect you. He can disappoint you or make you feel disappointed. Praise God. The Lord brings abundance. Praise God. Let's come and pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Oh, what a mighty God. What a mighty God. What a mighty God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's receive a measure from the Lord right now. Let's receive what God desires to impart to us. Let's receive that power and that touch from God. Ushahataya kengendo lomosa.